Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we take that stack of research, your notes, articles, all of it, and boil it down to the really key takeaways. Think of it as your shortcut to getting smart on a topic fast, maybe with a few surprises along the way. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a company called AAON Inc. NASDAQ Q ticker is AAON. You've brought in a pretty hefty investment analysis, and it's a really interesting look at a specialized player in a market we all rely on, HVAC. Heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
That's right. And our mission today really is to figure out if AAON's competitive edge, you know, the whole spirit engineering, the customization thing, if that can actually keep driving their strong financial performance and frankly justify their stock price. We'll also look at how they're trying to ride these big waves, these secular trends like data center cooling and decarbonization driven by regulations. And crucially, do these opportunities outweigh the risks that always come with this industry?
Okay, sounds good. We've got the analysis, financials, reports. Let's get into it. So to kick things off, maybe just give us a snapshot. Who is AAON? What's their main thing?
Sure. So AAON Inc., founded back in 1988 by Norman Asbjornson. They're a U.S. manufacturer focused on premium, semi-custom, even fully custom commercial and industrial HVAC gear. They've built a really strong name for engineering, quality, energy efficiency. Huge footprint too, over 6 million square feet of manufacturing space. Oklahoma, Texas, Mississippi. And just to put some numbers on it, fiscal year 2024, they pulled in about $1.2 billion in sales. Their EBITDA margin, that's a key profit measure, was 22.7%. And return on invested capital, ROIC, which shows how well they use their money, was a strong 18.6%.
Okay, so premium custom. They're not just cranking out standard air conditioners like you might see everywhere else.
Exactly. That's key. Their whole mission from the start was top quality, best value. So the product lines cover a lot. Rooftop units, chillers, these packaged mechanical rooms, air handlers, energy recovery units. It's a pretty comprehensive list designed for tailoring.
Now, here's something I saw that seemed really interesting. They just did a big strategic shuffle, right? Moved from organizing by factory to organizing around two brands, AAON and BA Sex. Why the change?
Yeah, that was a direct result of their growth, especially after buying Bassex Solutions in late 2021. That was a game changer. The old structure based on where stuff was built just wasn't cutting it anymore. This new brand setup, it lets them manage things more efficiently, get more leverage from their manufacturing scale, gives investors clearer numbers to look at, frankly.
Yeah.
And it kind of creates a more focused mindset within each brand. Really separates the two main growth engines.
Okay, so tell us about these two brands then. What's the difference?
All right. So first you've got the AAON brand. That's the original core business, about, say, 74% of sales. Focuses on semi-custom HVAC for non-residential buildings, think packaged rooftop units. The selling point here is innovation, top quality, and focusing on the total cost of owning it over its life, not just the sticker price. This serves the traditional markets, schools, shops, hospitals, factories, offices. It's the steady foundation, generates good cash.
Okay, the foundation. And the other one, BASX.
Right, BASX. That's the other 26% and definitely the high growth engine. This came directly from that Bassex acquisition. It's all about fully custom, really high stakes solutions for tough, fast growing markets. Think data centers, clean rooms, places where the specs are intense. Bassex products are things like highly engineered air handlers, advanced liquid cooling, stuff designed to handle the massive heat thrown off by modern computing.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, the HVAC world, it's got some giants, right? Lennox, Trane, Carrier, Johnson Controls. How does a relatively smaller company like AAON carve out such a profitable niche against those guys? What's their edge, their competitive advantage?
That's really the fascinating part. Their success isn't just about being custom. It's built on this durable competitive moat, really rooted in their engineering and customization. See, unlike the big guys who focus on more standard stuff, AAON semi-custom process lets them build highly configurable tailored units. They can meet really precise performance needs, even fit into specific physical spaces in buildings. That's huge value for customers with unique or complex requirements.
So they're not trying to win just by being the cheapest option then?
No, not at all. They compete on superior quality, reliability, performance. Their gear is built to last longer, run more efficiently. That leads to the lowest total cost of ownership, or TCO. You have to factor in energy use, maintenance, how often you replace it, the whole life cycle cost.
Which leads to this really interesting point in the analysis. Their price premium is shrinking. Used to be, what, 15, 20% more expensive? But now management says it's under 10% because they got more efficient. They're calling it the most cost competitive they've ever been. What's that doing for them in the market?
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's directly fueling faster market share gains. I mean, think about it. For years, AAON was like the premium, maybe slightly expensive choice. Now they've made it almost as affordable as the standard stuff, but you still get the better performance. Like in 2023, their core rooftop unit volume grew 19%. The overall U.S. market for similar stuff only grew 6%. That tells you something, right? A building owner who might have balked at paying 20% extra will now maybe paying less than 10% extra for something clearly better, more efficient, longer lasting. That's a much easier decision. It's really opening doors.
What about how they sell? I saw they use independent technical sales reps. How's that different and why does it work for them specifically?
Yeah, that's another key differentiator from the big competitors. This network of independent reps, they aren't just order takers. They have deep technical know-how and, crucially, long-term relationships with engineers, contractors. It's more of a solutions-based sale. Because AAON's semi-custom stuff often gets specified early in a project's design phase. The reps are almost like consultants. It creates this partnership, not just a transaction where you're haggling over the last dollar. Much stickier.
And what about just, you know, new companies trying to break into this market? Is it easy? What are the barriers?
Well, the barriers are high in commercial HVAC. Huge capital needed for factories, R&D. Then you've got these sales channels that took decades to build. Brand recognition counts for a lot. Plus, you need serious technical chops just to keep up with all the energy and environmental rules, which are always changing. It really protects the established players like AAON.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit. The whole global HVAC market is massive. You've got figures here. $242 billion in 2024, maybe heading towards $446 billion by 2033. What are the big long-term trends pushing this that help companies like AAON?
Yeah, there are several powerful forces at play. Probably the biggest is energy efficiency and regulation. Governments keep cranking up the efficiency standards. Like the PUBR 2 rules that kicked in 2023. That basically makes a lot of older equipment obsolete, forces building owners to upgrade.
So it's not just about saving on the electric bill, it's regulators pushing it.
Exactly. Then you've got decarbonization and electrification, this global push to cut carbon emissions. It's causing a massive shift towards all electric systems like high-performance heat pumps, getting away from burning fossil fuels in buildings, and government money, like from the Inflation Reduction Act, plus companies having their own ESG goals. That's just speeding it all up.
Makes sense. And the third big one?
The refrigerant transition. This is a big technical challenge. Regulators are phasing out refrigerants that have a high global warming potential GWP, basically how much they heat up the planet.
Yeah.
So everyone has to switch to new low GWP alternatives, like this R454B. But that requires redesigning the equipment significantly. It's another huge reason people have to buy new stuff.
So all these things together. You mentioned this term super cycle of forced upgrades. Why super? What makes this different from just normal replacement?
That's a great point. Historically, yeah, people replaced HVAC mostly when it broke. Simple. Mm-hmm. But now, building owners are getting hit with this perfect storm, really. Yeah. Three separate overlapping regulatory hammers coming down. Higher efficiency required, new refrigerants required, and the push to decarbonize often required or heavily incentivized. It's not really optional anymore for many. It creates this strong, ongoing demand that isn't just tied to the economy. And this whole situation, it really plays to the strengths of premium makers like AAON, because their engineers were already designing for these higher standards years ago. They were kind of ready for this moment.
Okay, beyond those big three, any other trends worth noting?
Well, there's the whole smart building technology and IoT thing. HVAC isn't just standalone boxes anymore. They're becoming part of connected networks. You can monitor them remotely, optimize them in real time. That's a growing area. And of course, indoor air quality, or IAQ. The pandemic really put a spotlight on that. So now there's much more demand for better ventilation, better filtration.
Sounds like a confluence of really positive trends for companies that are prepared. But the industry is still tied to construction, the economy, right? It can't be totally immune to downturns.
No, absolutely not. It's definitely cyclical at its core. Demand for brand new installations follows commercial construction, which follows GDP, interest rates, all that. So while these big secular trends provide a really strong floor under demand, a major recession would still slow things down, especially new builds and big renovation projects. It dampens the cycle, but doesn't eliminate it.
Got it. Okay, let's dig into AAON's numbers then. Revenue growth looks pretty dramatic. Jumped 66% in 2022, crossed $1 billion. What about profits through all that?
Yeah, the profitability held up well, even recovered strongly. Gross margin dipped in 2021, down to about 25.8%, but then bounced back to a record 34.1% in 2023. That shows good pricing power and getting operations dialed in. Their operating margins in 23 and 24 beat most of the big competitors. And that ROIC, return on invested capital, we mentioned, historically very strong, consistently better than many peers. It shows management's pretty good at putting money to work effectively.
You keep mentioning that BASX acquisition being transformative. So what's the single biggest growth driver for AAON looking ahead, and how's that actually showing up in the numbers?
Without a doubt, the single biggest catalyst is the just explosive demand for cooling in data centers. And they're really going after that hard with the BASX brand. I mean, think about AI, cloud computing, big data. It all needs massive computing power, which generates incredible amounts of heat. You need highly specialized, super reliable cooling systems for that. Mission critical stuff.
How explosive are we talking? Do you put some figures on that?
Yeah, the numbers are pretty startling. In 2024, the BAS brand overall grew 35%. But sales of data center specific equipment, that surged 85%. And bookings, meaning future orders, were up about 100%. Management sounds incredibly bullish. They suggested this data center business, which was running at maybe just under $190 million a year end of 2024, they think it could become over a $1 billion business in a few years. That's huge potential. And BASX is pushing into things like advanced liquid cooling too.
Wow. Okay, but are they still growing in their traditional commercial markets, or is it kind of all about data centers now?
No, absolutely. The core business is still growing and getting investment. They're big on innovation there too. Like these alpha class heat pumps they developed, they can work efficiently even when it's way below zero, like negative 20 Fahrenheit. Sales of those grew about 40% last year, over $100 million. And they also set up a new sales team specifically to target big national companies, you know, the ones with lots of locations, for multi-year replacement deals. They're saying the pipeline is already worth hundreds of millions, so they're pushing on multiple fronts.
Okay, this all sounds very positive, but I flag this one financial detail. Negative free cash flow. In the last 12 months, ending Q1 2025, it was negative $117 million. Usually that's a big warning sign, right? Cash going out the door faster than it's coming in. Why is it different here, according to the analysis?
That is such a crucial point to understand. And yeah, on the surface, it looks bad, but you have to dig one level deeper. Their cash flow from operations was actually positive, about $91 million. So the core business is generating cash. The reason free cash flow is negative is entirely down to a massive intentional spike in capital expenditures, or CapEx. They spent almost $208 million on investments. And that spending is almost entirely for building out new capacity, mainly this huge new 787,000 square foot factory in Memphis. It's purpose built to grab that data center growth. So it's not the business bleeding cash, it's them making a huge strategic bet on future growth. The question really isn't why is cash flow negative, it's will they get a good return on this massive investment?
So these are basically the biggest investments they've ever made, banking on this growth. Exactly. They're planning something like $220 million in CapEx for 2025. Again, mostly for Memphis, which should create over 800 jobs, by the way. It also diversifies where they make things and puts them closer to those big data center customers. This whole BASX expansion, it's really changing the shape of the company. They're moving from being just a premium HVAC maker to this hybrid company with a big, fast-growing piece tied to tech infrastructure.
Okay, makes sense. But every investment, every story has risks. They're making big bets here. What are the main things someone looking at AAON should be worried about?
Right, definitely risks involved. I'd list maybe five key ones. First, execution risk. Just building and ramping up that huge Memphis plant on time, on budget. That's a massive project. Any big screw-ups there would hurt. Second, cyclical risk. We talked about it. Even with the tailwinds, if commercial construction tanks due to a recession, it'll impact them. Third, valuation risk. AAON stock always trades at a high price relative to earnings, like a P.E. ratio of 38 times in mid-2025. That's way higher than many peers. It means the market expects perfection, basically. Not much room for error.
Right. High expectations baked in.
Exactly. Fourth, customer concentration risk. As that BASX data center business gets bigger, they become more reliant on a smaller number of huge customers, the big cloud companies, the big data center operators. Losing or having one major customer delay orders could really sting. And fifth, maybe regulatory implementation risk. The regulations are good overall, but the process of changing can be messy. Like you mentioned, the R454B refrigerant change. Apparently, building codes adopting it were slow in some places, and that actually caused a temporary dip in AAON's orders late 24, early 25. So hiccups can happen.
You mentioned that high valuation. How does it stack up specifically against competitors in AAON's own history? Is that premium justified in your view, based on the analysis?
Yeah, it trades way above Lennox, which is around 27 times PE. Johnson Controls at 29, Carrier way down at 12. But interestingly, it's pretty much in line with its own 10-year average PE, which is up around 41. And it's similar to Trane Technologies, around 37 times, which is also seen as a premium company. So the market has consistently given Aon this higher valuation for years. It's basically saying, we recognize your different business model, your better historical growth, your higher returns.
So wrapping this all together, what's the bottom line for potential upside or downside here?
Well, looking at a discounted cash flow model, which tries to value a company based on its future cash generation, it suggests the current stock price probably already assumes things go pretty well. Call it a base case scenario. Strong growth, good execution, but maybe not knocking it completely out of the park. To get significant upside from where it is now, you'd need a real bull case, like they absolutely nail the data center ramp up, maybe even expand margins further. Everything goes right. On the flip side, if they stumble on execution or if we hit a bad recession, then yeah, the current valuation might look too high compared to the underlying value. It really boils down to a show me story. They've laid out the plan, now they have to deliver.
Okay. What a fascinating dive into Aon Inc. We've seen how they built this unique niche with great engineering customization, how they seem almost perfectly set up for these huge trends, decarbonization, data centers, and how their recent moves, the financials, the big investments, it all points to a very deliberate, ambitious bet on the future.
It really does. And it leaves you with a pretty critical question to think about. Aon has a track record of punching above its weight,
yeah,
right? And they're pouring money into capacity now. So what key signs, what signals would you look for over the next year or two to really confirm if they're making that leap, transforming from that niche expert into a major scaled player, supplying critical tech infrastructure while still managing the ups and downs of their traditional markets?
That's a great thought to leave you with. Hopefully this deep dive gives you a really solid handle on Aon Inc., the strategy, the opportunities, the risks, lots to chew on there.